This is Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Doug Hamilton, and it's a pleasure to have you with us on our Main Street today. Our show starts with Alex Fire Thunder Loeb. He's a 28-year-old Lakota language instructor from New York City originally, but he's a graduate of Oglala Lakota College on the Pine Ridge Reservation, and he joins us to talk about the Lakota Summer Institute and other things related to preserving the Lakota language. Alex is in our Bismarck studio. Hello, Alex.
Hello.
Let's talk about your background. Did you grow up in New York City? How did you end up there?
actually, a correction, not New York City, but upstate New York.
Ah.
Is where I grew up. I was born and raised upstate New York. My dad was born in New York City, and his their family moved upstate when he was a kid.
Uh-huh.
So that's how I ended up there. My mom is from Pine Ridge.
So how did you learn the language? From your mom?
I grew up knowing just simple, basic words, a lot of nouns, colors, numbers, just like very basic, and I wouldn't even be able to hold a conversation in Lakota growing up. So I actually learned the language and how to speak and how to become conversational in the last 5 years of studying Lakota at Oglala Lakota College and just throughout my day-to-day life at home and in the community.
And now here you are, 28 years old, a Lakota language instructor, and obviously you learned it well enough to do that.
Yeah. I'm still learning. I have a lot to learn. I have the basics down very well, and I teach what I know.
Okay. So, how imperiled is the Lakota language?
I like to stay hopeful about it, but it's not a dominant language that's spoken in our own communities, so that is troublesome, and that's something that I would like to see changed. So, for example, when you go into the store, when you go to a restaurant, when you're just, you know, at a basketball game, you know, you should be able to hear the Lakota language being spoken, and that's not the case right now. So that's my concern.
The Lakota Summer Institute is doing something new this year. There are North and South Institutes. There was one that was reported on last week by the Rapid City Journal that took place at the Oglala Lakota College campus at Pine Ridge.
Mm-hmm.
And right now there's one underway at United Tribes Technical College?
Yes.
And so what happens at one of these Lakota Summer Institutes?
The Lakota Summer Institutes are generally 3 weeks is how long they've been in the past, and that's how long this one here at UTTC is. 3 weeks of just intense Lakota language courses. We offer grammar classes. We offer what we call communicative classes, where we're engaging in Lakota dialogue. We get the students speaking, communicating with each other, using props and images, and dominantly we're using the Lakota language to teach. So there's little to no English being used in those classes. And this goes on all day from 9 a.m. till 4:15 p.m. So it's very intense, but I think it's a great experience for those students who are dedicated and committed to learning the Lakota language. It's a really great opportunity to get introduced into the language.
Who attends these institutes?
We have all kinds of people. There's Lakota high school students from Cheyenne River that's here right now. We have people from all across the country that are interested in learning Lakota. So it's a very wide range of people who have come to show interest and begin their journey of learning Lakota language.
So they spend 3 weeks in this immersive process. How is this funded?
That is a very good question. I believe the Lakota Language Consortium applies for various grants and donors for various funding opportunities, and I'm not sure the background of the funding and how that all operates, but I know we're partnered with UTTC obviously to make this happen, and we partnered with the college that I actually attained my degree. I'm an alumni of Oglala Lakota College, so when we were in Kyle, the LSI South, I believe OLC partnered with them to make that happen as well.
And you have your Bachelor of Social Work from the Oglala Lakota College. You're now pursuing a master's degree in Lakota Leadership and Management.
Yes.
How would you describe your teaching method? You gave us a sense of using props and things like that, but how do you, you're engaging people for most of the day in mm-hmm. a language they know very little about when they arrive.
The best teaching methods that I've witnessed and I've seen, and I've been in numerous various styles of teaching I've been subjected to and my own learning of Lakota language. But the most effective and the most conducive to the learning, to the students' learning that I've seen is it features two teachers or two speakers in the classroom. So, for example, here at LSI North, I'm teaching with actually one of my mentors, Corey Yellowboy, he's a Lakota language instructor or Lakota studies instructor at Oglala Lakota College. So he was one of my instructors in the past. So now I'm teaching alongside him, and we're able to, what we do is we introduce vocabulary and we just kind of repeat using the props or using images so we don't translate. And we repeat that, and then the students will repeat after us, and they sort of try to have to memorize. We try to not make it a long list, maybe 7 or 8 words. And then what we do is we'll use those nouns or that vocabulary in a sentence with each other, and we'll model it several times. And then we'll begin to ask, we engage with the students and see if they're starting to catch on.
Are there old recordings or is there some sort of historical material that informs how you would pronounce a Lakota word?
There are plenty of old recordings. There's old recordings of songs. There's old recordings of interviews and speaking. However, one of the most useful resources that I would say we have today is the Lakota Language Consortium has developed a dictionary app. And this app you can download on your phone, on your computer. And with that app, you can search any word in English or you can search any word in Lakota. And it'll pull up the entry and it'll give you examples of sentences. And this is the coolest thing, is that there's a little speaker. There's actually two speakers that you can click on. And when you click on it, it shows you a recording of native speakers pronouncing those words.
Oh, that must be invaluable.
Yes, it is. It is.
How would you describe the Lakota alphabet?
That is a very complicated question because there has been several throughout the past 150 years. So traditionally, Lakota, we never wrote our language down. It was only a spoken language. However, the first people to write our language down were Jesuits and missionaries. And so they had their way of how they would spell Lakota words. Like I said, throughout the last 150 years, there's been several different ways of different anthropologists, linguists, and just different academics, and then even our own people trying to come up with different alphabets and different ways of spelling our language. So you can go, even to this day, there's many different schools that use different ways of spelling, and sometimes it can be problematic for students when they transfer from one school to another, or even if they go to a high school, it uses one way of spelling, and they go to a college and use another. However, I encourage everybody to learn as much as they can. If you're a Lakota language learner, I want you to learn as many different orthographies and ways of spelling as you can so that those resources that have been already written down are available to you and accessible to you.
Is there a movement, is there a directive from the Lakota Language Consortium, for example, that we move toward one alphabet or one?
Yes, yes. So Lakota Language Consortium has taken an orthography and made some subtle changes because we have linguists that work for LLC that founded LLC. And so they've created an orthography that's been based off of others in the past that worked well. And in the LLC orthography, we have a symbol or a letter that represents each sound, each different sound that's found in Lakota. So once you learn the alphabet, when you read the orthography that Lakota Language Consortium uses, it's very clear how it's supposed to be pronounced.
Well, some of us of a certain age remember being very young and learning phonics, which is, I think, orthography. Yeah, that's what you're talking about.
Yes.
What's the actual letter sound like in use?
In English, sometimes they're off.
Yeah.
So that's the benefit in this particular orthography. You know, one letter is always going to make the same sound.
Okay.
So once you learn it, it's going to be cut dry across the board. You'll know how to pronounce a word.
Now, when you delve deeply into a language like English, which has, you know, a gazillion words and all kinds of origins, if you will, you know, maybe some of it comes from Sanskrit or some of it is Germanic. Is there any study of the origins of the Lakota language?
There's been various studies from linguists and anthropologists, historians, and the Lakota language is part of a larger linguistic family called the Siouan language. And so and it's actually funny because I'm a powwow dancer and a powwow singer, so I travel across the country and meet other people from other various nations, indigenous nations, and sometimes I'll recognize words or sometimes a word will sound similar to ours because their language is in a similar language family. So there's different theories on where it originates from. However, you know, we all have our own, each tribe has their own traditional teachings and oral histories as well, so.
Well, if you, I remember seeing a movie about Inuits in you know, in Alaska and mm-hmm. other places, and having a gazillion words for snow. Mm-hmm. Are there idiosyncrasies like that in the Lakota language?
Yeah, there's things like one example. We have the color we say tro, and that they generally translates as blue. And when we speak in Lakota, we'll use that word to describe the color of grass, and we also use it to describe the color of the sky. Huh. So that's something that I've, you know, we now have a word for green. It's different. It's tozi, but what that means literally is blue, yellow. So when you mix those colors, you get green. So sometimes I wonder why do we call the color of grass or the color of a leaf just to?
You know, many years ago, Alex, I took conversational German, and which, you know, if I needed to find a pencil, I knew how to say it, but mm-hmm. I couldn't do much else. If you're learning this language as well as you have, do you ever think in Lakota?
I think I'm just now starting to. Like, for example, I'll go on a hike or for a walk, and I'll look at things, and I'll in my head, I'll tell, like, say what it is in Lakota in my head. So that's, I think it's just now starting, and I'm 5 years into actively learning and then just teaching. I think I've heard this said before as well, and I really agree with it. I think the best way to learn anything, but especially a language, is to teach it.
Sure.
So I'm in that journey right now where I'm teaching and I'm learning at the same time.
And you're also in Bismarck at United Tribes Technical College with the Lakota Summer Institute and partnering with StoryCorps during their Bismarck visit. They're there for most of July.
Mm-hmm.
What will you be doing with StoryCorps?
I don't think I personally will be doing anything with StoryCorps. As soon as our classes are done on Friday, I actually have to head back home, and I have a regular job at the Oglala Lakota College Archives, where I am working with digitizing old cassette tape collections and reel-to-reel collections, and I'm hoping that there's some Lakota language materials in there as well, so.
There's more research to be done, I think.
Oh, yes. It's constant.
Now, you mentioned, Alex, that you grew up in upstate New York, and you have a name, Alex Fire Thunder Loeb.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great melting pot, New York it is. So talk about your life as a kid.
Okay, so I grew up in a little town called Afton, New York. It's outside of Binghamton. It's upstate. It's very rural in the country. I grew up going to school there, knew everybody after kindergarten, and went to school with the same kids all the way through high school. I was the only non-Caucasian student there until high school. And then, so the only time I was with other indigenous people was on the weekends. And on the weekends, we would travel to different powwows across the country. And then in the summertime, every summer I would be able to go back home to Pine Ridge, and we had to attend various ceremonies and gatherings and things like that.
So the family connections were maintained, I take it.
Yes, yeah. No, my identity with being Lakota was very strong. I grew up having long hair. I was a powwow dancer, and I participated in our traditional way of life as much as I could. Living in New York,
I have actually Googled your name and asked for videos, and I see just a stream of stuff comes down of you performing Lakota songs and performing on the hand drum, and they're wonderful to listen to. What drew you to that?
Well, like I said, I grew up around a lot of our traditions and our powwows, wachipis, and our ceremonies. And one of the things that I just naturally was drawn to was the drum. The drum just always made me feel good. I always just wanted to be at that drum. And so when I was about 6 or 7 years old, they let me sit down, and I just learned from watching and by doing. And so now I'm actually a song composer. I'm also a powwow dancer. I'm a grass dancer. And just recently, so when I was a teenager, I was interested in punk rock music, and I learned how to play guitar, and I was in a band for a number of years. And so recently I picked up the acoustic guitar. I've kind of put all that away for a long time throughout my 20s. But this past year I picked up an acoustic guitar and I started playing some of the chords I know, and I actually made a song in the Lakota language, so I'm looking to release that publicly. I know there's a video on Facebook of me playing it live, but...
How would you describe it? Is it Lakota rock or something else?
It's more low-key. It's not really rock.
Lakota ballad, eh?
Yeah, I mean, singer-songwriter or something like that.
Okay.
It's just acoustic. It's kind of folk, I guess, indie rock or folk or something alternative like that.
Again, you're only 28 years old. When you look down the road at your, you know, your future, where do you see yourself in 10 years? What are you going to be doing, and what interests you?
Well, I have my, as you mentioned earlier, I have a bachelor's degree in social work, so I'd like to do something that's going to impact, you know, our communities in a positive way. And obviously I have an interest in Lakota language, and I have been teaching, and I look forward to continue teaching. I'd really like to do some kind of research looking at how language revitalization impacts social wellness in our indigenous communities.
I noted in your bio that you also taught a Lakota language weekend in New York City back in February. What was that like?
Okay, so LLC hosts these weekend. It's basically like the LSI Summer Institutes kind of condensed into just 2 days. So it's just 2 days of intensive Lakota language, just the basics, conversations, introducing yourself. Things like that, but it's primarily in Lakota. We try not to use too much English during that time. So we're using the target language to teach the language.
Are there many Lakota in New York City?
There was actually a few. There was a few that came. There was actually more that I know of that weren't there.
Okay.
Just from my experience, you know, living upstate New York and my travels up and down the East Coast along the Powwow Trail, there's actually a lot of Lakota transplants, I guess you would call them, where they've moved away for various reasons, military or for work or just because a family or relative moved away, so they followed them. I actually have a bunch of aunties and uncles that live in North Carolina from Pine Ridge. So we're kind of all over the place now at this point.
Well, Alex Fire Thunder Loeb, thank you for spending some time with us today.
Thank you.
Alex teaches at the Lakota Summer Institute, now underway at United Tribes Technical College in Bismarck.